Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Let's pray and begin. It's quite an interesting topic today, and it's pretty heavy, but we'll see how we go. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for today. Lord, thank you. Not just for today, but Lord, thank you that you made us and you made the universe. And Lord, thank you for being with us each day, every day, and we know that you're going to be with us tomorrow. And so, Lord, we have nothing to lose. We are so hopeful, and hopeful for what this year brings, because you are in control of it, Lord. And so, Lord, may it be ups or downs, whether it be good things or some not so nice things, we know that ultimately, Lord, it is so that we may continue to grow closer to you and to glorify your name. So thank you, Lord Jesus. And I just commit, Lord, this message today, Lord, into your mighty hands. Lord, I pray that you speak to each of us, Lord, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So the topic is slave or free? It's a question mark. Are you a slave or are you free? And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but we're looking at a few verses there. And particularly what I want to do is share my story with you that happened just a few years ago, how the Lord made these words come alive. And it's pretty powerful. It was pretty powerful for me, and I hope that it will be the same for you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Apostle Paul starts by asking the question, am I not free? And then he goes on to ask, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? So these are all, by the way, rhetorical questions, meaning that the answer is going to be, of course, yes. Of course you are free, Paul. Of course you are an apostle. And yes, of course, the church in Corinth is stronger and growing because of your work in the Lord towards us. So just to give you a modern day example, right? If your kid, you know, if a child or somebody, you know, has a nice big breakfast and just comes back in no time asking for more food, and you'd go, have you not just had your breakfast? What happened? So the answer is, yes, of course he has had this breakfast, but he's still hungry. Or maybe he just wants that piece in the, you know, piece of cake that's in the fridge. A bit greedy. And then you say, well, hold on, buddy, you know. So asking these types of rhetorical questions was quite familiar, but was very common back then. And many other teachers, along with Paul, used them time to time. And it's normally to stress something that's really important. Okay? So in the previous chapter, chapter 8, Paul stresses that while the strong Christians have many, many rights, they are to forego them in order to protect the faith of the weaker Christians. And now in chapter 9, he's showing them that despite his own right of financial support from the church in Corinth, which is also rooted in the scripture that he'd be supported, we look at verse 8, as their spiritual patron or as an apostle or a preacher, he is still choosing not to use any of those rights so that he can preach the gospel for free to everyone and without any personal benefit. Now, we'll look at a bit more of that later on. So, he was a free man and not a slave in the community. And he's choosing, though, to become Christ's slave. So, what I want to bring to our attention today is this concept of a slave, being a slave, and being free. So, in verse 19, Paul says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. So this is where I'm going to start sharing my story and how God showed me the meaning of this verse in late 2021. So many of us at the time had lots of COVID-related challenges, right? I struggled most with when the government made the COVID vaccine compulsory as a healthcare worker. And without getting into the debate of the right and wrong of it all, I'm simply going to share how God showed me what free will and conscience means. Three things were holding me back, basically, from taking that vaccine. One, it was new and still under trial, so we were not sure about how effective it was going to be and were there going to be any long-term side effects. Two, I had forgotten which of the vaccines did not use aborted baby cells. There's this thing. Let's not go into too much into it, but there is this thing. And number three, time was running out for me because there was a deadline and I had to take the jab or lose my job. And I even started looking for different jobs. But regardless of those, you know, other opportunities, I just had to deal with something. And that something was, I don't want to be forced to do something against my will, against my conscience. And the day after that decision was made by the government, there was a verse that was running through my head. And it was the second time in a few months that that verse was coming to me. And then I looked it up the next day. And it was along the lines of all things to all men. It was 1 Corinthians 9, the same chapter, verse 22, where Paul says, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. See, it was not just the physio work that I was worried about. I was just cleared to go into the prison with the prison fellowship. And it was only going to be a matter of time until they also mandated that you had the COVID vaccine proof and all that. And so now I had a double conflict of conscience, because then the question in my head was, how can I not go to the prison to preach the gospel while saying no to the vaccine and staying at home, feeling good about the decision of not having taken it for the sake of the other conscience? Is that confusing enough? But you know, that was the moment of enlightenment for me. I devoured through that whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 9 and I studied it, and to my amazement and thrill, Paul, and with all the irony that is there to it, Paul actually starts with, am I not free? So am I not free as a Christian to make all sorts of different decisions based on the Word of God and various different things, including the sanctity of life that I was worried about with the use of vaccines. Anyway, Paul was free, and yet he makes himself a slave to everyone for the sake of the gospel. And I particularly want to read this passage from verse 19 onwards. So read with me. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win, again, those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. And I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. So what do these verses mean? And what does Apostle Paul mean by making himself a slave to everyone while he is already a free man? So, couple of things there. Firstly, looking at the Corinthians, so there's a church in Corinth that he's speaking to, and looking at that immediate context, roughly about one third of the population were slaves, and then another third were slaves that were freed, and the rest were just free persons. Slaves had to be loyal to their masters, right? And legally speaking, you wouldn't believe, but legally speaking, slaves actually were not considered as persons. Someone even put it as they were just living tools. However, in saying that, in some Roman households, slaves were treated really well. They were given higher positions, they were given access to education, and also to do business. And for those who were free, they were not necessarily totally free, because they still had to answer to someone higher in authority, say the government, which was the Caesar. And Caesar could call on them for their loyalty to him at any time. So, Paul here is saying, that he is a free man and he belongs to no one on earth, yet he is still a slave to Christ who called him. And we also see him saying that in 1 Corinthians 7. So Paul ultimately is responsible to God. And he's under Christ's law, as we just read. He probably sees himself as that trusted slave in a household that is entrusted with the most important task, which is the preaching of the gospel. And so he is a slave of Christ, but he's been given a task, equipping the saints with the gospel message. And nothing for Paul is going to stand between doing just that or hindering the preaching of the gospel. He does remind them, though, so it's important to know that, not to take that out of complete context, because he does remind them that to receive a financial support from them, as their, say, spiritual father, spiritual patron, that was his right in verse 12 and 14. Although that's not what he's focusing right now. That's not what he's saying. There was something else in that culture. If you could actually hire a teacher and get the teacher to speak to you or teach your children or your family members or, you know, that kind of thing. And Paul didn't want to be in debt of certain rich people who might be in the church, so that he only listens to them and what they wanted him to say to others. And in that way, Paul is a free man. And in fact, perhaps it was better for him not to receive any money, so that he is free to share the gospel to everybody else. So, having said that, for Paul, it also meant that he could follow the Jewish law in order to reach to the Jewish people. And he might not worry about all those theological or any doctrinal arguments that he would have to worry about in order to reach them. This is where it's important not to take, again, this verse out of context. Paul is very controversial in many ways, but you've got to look at the whole picture. Because while he's saying that in order to reach the Jews, he must follow the Jewish laws, he's not saying that we should worship other gods in order to reach other people who worship other gods. No, he's not saying that at all. In fact, he's saying, as slaves of Christ, we follow Christ's example of humility that crosses all classes of people and places. There is no rich or poor, there is no Jew or Gentile, nor male or female that matters in the end, because everybody have sinned and everyone needs the saving work of Jesus. So say, you know, if our neighbor is poor and we go and visit them, we're not going to wear super rich, you know, fancy clothes, just to put this in context. Or if in certain cultures, women are meant to talk to men and men are meant to talk to men, we're not going to stand up and say, well, I'm free and I'm, you know, I live in this society and, you know, no. We put down our rights and we say, okay, let the women speak to women, let the men speak to men, in order that the gospel will be preached. We put aside our desires, our wants, our rights. Or for example, if a new believer friend thinks that drinking alcohol is a sin, and why should we stop them from thinking that way at that time? We don't need to get into theological arguments saying everything in moderation and you're not sinning if you don't get drunk, etc., etc., etc. That's not the time for it. What's important is that the person doesn't fall away because you've stood up for something that you so dearly hold, which is not necessarily wrong, but it's just not the right time to share that at the time. So in all these things we see, our conscience, our way of life, takes no priority. We need to always think of the other person when we're sharing the gospel and to see where they're at. And as people mature in their faith, they will start understanding what the kingdom of God is all about anyway. So Paul, along with many other apostles and saints, suffered. He suffered for the sake of the gospel and in many different ways. We know that Paul was imprisoned many times. He was flogged many, many times. So when God calls us to preach the gospel, we must be ready to suffer at any cost. And to say to yes to Jesus, for all of us, whenever we say to yes to Jesus, it's not going to be all nice and easy, no. Now, coming back to that story, we know that we are to obey the government as a matter of conscience, as it says in Romans 13, and not only just to avoid punishment. But conscience in that regard is a matter of conscience itself. But anyway, we're not going to talk about the government, because the government exclusively didn't target Christians at the time, so that's not totally relevant to our discussion here. But we get the point. And finally, what occurred to me was the story of Timothy. So we read about Timothy in Acts 16. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And therefore, they probably knew that Timothy was probably not circumcised. And so it was very natural then for them to ask, who then is this Timothy who's trying to tell us about God when he himself is not following the laws of our God? You see, so it was important. This is what Paul is saying, to come under the law when they don't have to be circumcised. Timothy, there was no need for him to be circumcised. Because when we read in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 and 19, Paul himself teaches that each person should live as God called them. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised, because circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. So we've cleared that. So why have Timothy circumcised? Did Timothy protest? I'm not going to do that. That's pretty painful. Why should I do it? I'm a free person. I don't need to do that as a Christian anymore. See, we don't know what Timothy was thinking at the time or whether he protested, but we did know that he got the procedure done. And that was in order to reach the Jews with the gospel of Christ. And that was the most important thing to them. You know, I don't think that their first thought was, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and therefore I should look after it very well. I don't think they would have had those self-preserving thoughts or using any scripture out of context there. Because we only think as 21st century people. We are the product of our culture, whether we like it or not. And hence, it's very, very important that we constantly dwell in the Word of God and learn from Him, who is our supreme example, and always be on our guard. Because there's a constant bombardment on us from the world to focus on our own you beautiful selves. You know, my wishes, my looks, my desires, my rights, what pleases me. And all those self-preserving messages, right? And for Paul and Timothy, Christ was everything. And the gospel was worth dying for. And Paul calls us to follow his example. And when we follow his example, with Christ as their and our supreme example, we put our life on the line. Because Jesus died for you. And he died for me. And the whole world. Whether they know it yet or not. So as a follower of Christ, our conscience must be shaped by God's word and his will. Dictionary definition. What is conscience? It's a person's moral sense of right and wrong. And it's viewed as acting as a guide to one's behavior. So our sense of right and wrong is shaped by many things. Our upbringing, childhood experiences, any negative, positive things, culture, faith, our society. It's very important moving forward in 2023 that we watch our thoughts and our decision-making about everything which will affect our behavior and our responses to life situations. It is tricky at times. It is difficult. But we have Jesus as our example. We have his word, God's word, to help us. Our conscience then should be wielded by God's will, or to God's will. And it might look very different to everybody in their different situations. For me and for many of my friends, you know, use of those vaccines was a matter of conscience. And for many of my friends, they actually lost their jobs, and they chose to, in order to stand up for the sanctity of human life, life that God had created. That is also fine. That was their journey. And each believer, whether vaccinated or not vaccinated, they all had their own journey that God had placed them in, whether it was for their own individual growth or for corporate kingdom purposes. Only God knows that. And we know, we who've journeyed through that, if we allow God to teach us, we can learn from that. So, with all this knowledge that God had just shown me and opened my eyes to, I cried. I sobbed. But I think those were tears of being comforted by God Himself as He answered me in my turmoil. There was no more conflict, considering the reaching of God's gospel was more important into the prisons than taking that vaccine. God also provided me with further comfort. I found out that the Pfizer did not use any of the aborted fetus cells. Woohoo, praise God. I was like, okay, God. And I wasn't worried about the side effects of the vaccine anymore because, God, it's for your glory so that I can go somewhere where maybe somebody else can't go. So God knows and understands our inner struggles, our longing to please Him, to do good, to obey Him. And during that time, someone said to me that our turmoil in such times and our longing to please God by not conforming to the patterns of the world, it becomes like a fragrant offering to God. And that was really comforting. I've not heard that before. It's easy to see God as waiting there to punish us all the time. But I think it's more beautiful and comforting to see God that He sees us. He sees our struggles. He knows that we need to make all these decisions. And Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 would support that. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So my question to us today is, are you a free bird and do what pleases you and you alone, but that it takes you nowhere? Are you a slave to any sorts of addictions or a slave to your own sense of right or wrong or to any patterns of this world? And what we mean by patterns of this world is defined in 1 John chapter 2. It's the lust of the flesh. Whatever we desire, we want to have it. It's not necessarily just sexual. It could be materialism, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Or are you a freed person through Christ and a slave to Christ and full of joy despite the earthly suffering or suffering for the sake of the gospel? So this year, let's make it our ambition to become all things to all people. And really think about what it means to us in our context here in Karawara, to our neighbors. So if you want to make a commitment in getting to know God more and breaking away from any addictions, we are here. We can pray. We can help you understand who God is. Because it's better to be in slavery to God than be in slavery to sin. That gets us nowhere, but only to death. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you that we can look to you with hope. You are our salvation. Lord, thank you for journeying with us when we go through various kinds of turmoils and decisions to make when We want to please you and we want to obey you. And thank you, Lord, for being so ever patient with us and for teaching us from your word. Lord, I pray for all of us as we move into this year, may it be a brand new year of beginnings. If there is anything in our life that's holding us back from being with you and doing your work, bring it to our attention, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that with your Holy Spirit, that we'd be able to break away from that slavery to that particular thing. And Lord, when we say yes to you, we are now your people, freed people. And we don't just do what pleases us, but we do what pleases you. It's not us, but you, Jesus, now. And through that, Lord, you've given us this joy that nobody else can give us. We can live, we can breathe that free breath, that air. And we don't owe anybody, anyone, because you've taken it all on the cross for us. So thank you, Lord, and I just commit our church, each and everyone who's here today, Lord, into your mighty hands. Be with us, Father God, and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.